I'm delighted to be back in Elmont. At my age, I'm delighted to be anywhere. But been looking forward to it. Pastor called me way back in early spring, and said, I need to get on your schedule. And so he put me on the schedule, and I thought my schedule was pretty open. He thought I was a real busy guy, I guess. And so I came back from Florida after preaching 11 times down in Florida. Came back from Florida, and I thought I'd get a little rest when I got home. Phone started ringing. I've preached every Sunday since then, but one. Got to go to our own home church one time, and then the new pastor we have there asked me if I would do three classes on soul winning and personal evangelism, because that's what we do. My wife and I are evangelists. Yes, she is too. She preaches to me a lot. And I don't know how far it goes, but anyway, no, really, seriously, we have been in a evangelistic outreach for 2 days at the Oakland County Fair. And as of last night, our team has seen 76 souls come to Christ in 2 days. You ought to be shouting about that, folks. Somebody caught from death unto life. And it's a marvelous thing. We have an interesting little question in the box, and we get people to come and answer. We have a big sign that says, answer the question millions can't answer. And they come look in the question box. And in that question box, there's a question that says, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? When they look up in that box, we say, well, what do you think? Would you be 100% or 80 or 50? And sometimes they'll just say, I don't know. Well, would you like to know? And we get a response from that. Yes, no, whatever. And but if they say yes, we have people ready in the tent to take them down the Romans Road to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And 76 people bowed their head in the last 2 days, asked Christ to be their Savior, and signed a card so that churches in the area can do the follow-up on their salvation. That's what we do. And we go in churches. We train churches to do this for their events, and go and work with them, and see them sometimes for the first time actively winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And but today, we're at Elmont. Today, we're with you. And it's an exciting time for Doreen and I to be here with Shannon and Bob. Bob's my oldest son. And so we're glad to be here with them in their church. What a beautiful, beautiful edifice you have. I love to go into the old churches. I love to go into the churches and wonder how many souls God claimed in those places over the years. I love to do that. I was up in Frankenmuth and went into the old Lutheran church where the seven German missionaries came from Germany to Frankenmuth to win the Chippewa Indians to Christ. Seven of them came, and they certainly did win the Chippewas to Christ. I like that because I have some Chippewa blood. And so I date back to some of that history. Without history, we don't have much, do we? Well, I want you to take your Bibles and open them with me. I think there's a pew Bible there if you need it. But I want you to go with me to, I'll get it right, dear. To 2 Kings in chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. How many of you believe the Old Testament is inspired as the New Testament? Amen. The Old Testament is there, Paul said, for an example unto us. There are a lot of examples to us. I want to read about two colorful characters of Scripture today. These two colorful characters stand out in the Old Testament, and we begin to read in verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Kings. And it came to pass, one old preacher said, thank God it didn't come to stay. Amen. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now Bethel is a name for the house of God. They went down to the house of God. And there they met the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, and came forth to Elisha and said, Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that thy Lord will take away thy master from thee, thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Jericho, the word Jericho means myrrh, a place of place of crushing. You remember the story when Joshua marched on Jericho and how the walls fell down and the people all died, and God gave great victory in Jericho. It's a place of victory. The sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that thy Lord who take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood at Jordan. And Elijah took off his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry land. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horses thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came and met him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, we have read this lengthy passage of scripture, but we don't apologize for reading your word, because you said you would bless your word. And so, Lord, we're calling on you today to bless your word. Open your word to our hearts and our minds. And, Lord, help us to be attentive to what your spirit might be saying while this preacher is talking. So, Lord, we ask that you would come, hover over us, and visit with us today. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Great questions of the Bible pop up here and there, and I love those questions because we can sit and ponder those questions, and those questions will take us on a journey in our minds and our hearts to find the destiny of God. Who is this man, Elijah? Elijah is a Tishbite. He's a if we go back to 1 Kings in chapter 17, we find that this man just appears on scripture without an announcement. He's from Gilead. He's from the wrong side of the river. He's not on the Israel side. He's on the other side. And he's born a Tishbite. That is, he was born in the city of Tishbe. Historically, the city of Tishbe historically was started by evil men that were cast out of Israel. They were sent back over in that mountainous side, and there they established those cities, much like my own city. The city I was raised in was started by thieves and robbers. It's not commonly called the city of Pontiac. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. The thieves and robbers are still there, right? But it's true. They were cast out of Detroit. They came out and found a little place along the river there and started the city of Pontiac. When the churches came to the city of Pontiac and those thieves would not let them build churches in the city limits. If you go over to Pontiac and you drive around the loop around the city anymore, you'll find that the churches are outside the loop. The Catholics on South Hill, The Methodists on South Hill, the Baptists on the north split at Oakland Avenue, the Presbyterians on the west side, and the Congregationalists on the east side. They surrounded the city converted the city. And the city of Pontiac over the years have had great revivals with the churches participating together. I'm from a town like Elijah. And God called Elijah out of that place and gave him a message and sent him out to King Ahab, who had led the people of Israel in turning their back on Jehovah and following Baal. And Elijah appeared on the scene with a message from God. He went to Ahab, and he said to Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3 years. There shall be no dew nor rain for 3 years. It's interesting. A few weeks ago on Father's Day, I had a chance to preach with my youngest son and my grandson in the same hour, in the same message. We put a message together and we talked about this very thing. I was surprised what they knew because they knew some things that I did not know. I did not know why God judged Ahab and the people of Israel for turning their back on God and turning to Baal. I don't know why. I didn't know why he stopped the dew and the rain until one of my sons was digging around in history and found the fact that Baal was the god of dew and rain. Isn't that interesting? And so God judged that God by saying there'll be no dew nor rain for 3 years. And then you remember what God did. God sent off, Elijah off to the brook. He said, go down to the brook. The ravens are going to feed you there. Don't you think that he probably stopped and thought about that a little bit? Where are those ravens picking up food? I suppose those things run through his mind, but he was a great man of faith. He was a great man of obedience. He was a great man that delivered the message to Ahab. And then God sent him off to the brook to drink of the brook and be fed of the birds. And when the brook dried up, he sent him up to Zarephath, to a widow woman up there. And he said, the widow woman's going to sustain you. Now we're talking about this man Elijah, that we wonder, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And Elijah went up there to the widow woman, said, make me a cake and bring me a drink. She said, I have no grain but just a little bit in the barrel, and I have just a little bit of oil in a cruse, and I'm about to make my son and me a cake, and we're going to eat that, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, make me a cake first. You remember the story? Do something. Well, she made him the cake. She went back to the barrel. My, there's more grain in the barrel. My, there's more oil in the cruise. And for 3 years, they ate of a barrel that had just a little meal. And at the end of that 3 years, God showed up. And when he showed up, he said, go to Ahab. Well, During the time that he had stayed there, he had raised the widow woman's son from the dead. He delivered the son back to the mother, and then he left to find Ahab. Now, Ahab was busy. The ground was dry. The ponds are drying up. He sent Obadiah, his servant, out to find water for the horses and the mules, it says. He wasn't too concerned about the people, I guess, but he was looking for places for the horses and the mules to have water and find food. And you remember, Elijah came to Obadiah, and he said, tell the king I'm here. Obadiah said, oh no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go out there and find the king, because the Lord's going to lead you away, and the king is going to say, you told me a lie, and he's going to kill me because you won't be here when I get back. And Elijah said, as the Lord liveth, I'll be here. You see, every grounding of his life, every transaction of his life is as the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth, as God has power in my life. He was a man that certainly had to be walking with God, wouldn't you say? To leave that place on the wrong side of Jordan, deliver the message of God, and then be lost for 3 years. The king can't find him. And then all of a sudden he appears. And what happened when he talked to the king? When the king came and found him, he said, are you the one that's troubling Israel? I can tell some of you know the story because you're smiling there. Are you the one that's troubling? Isn't it always the one, the innocent one that gets blamed for everything? Huh? And that's just the way life works out. But he said, it's not me that's troubling Israel, it's you. Then he had a message. We're still talking about this man, this great man, Elijah. Elijah said, if God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. He put the people on the spot. He said to the people, you are going to have to make a decision here. And you remember how he went up to Mount Carmel? And the prophets of Baal went up to Mount Carmel, and they prepared sacrifices. And the 450 prophets of Baal prepared their sacrifice. They danced over the sacrifice. They cut themselves. They called out to Baal, but no fire appeared. But when it came time for the evening sacrifice, you see, Elijah knew something about worshiping God. It was the time of the evening sacrifice. He prepared the altar, and he prepared the sacrifice, and he put the rocks in place, and he said, go down and get barrels of water, and he dug a trench around the sacrifice. He was going to show who God is. He was going to get his neck out on a limb and stand for God. He's going to show who God is. And so they filled up the trenches with water. And it came time. And he called out to God, God, if you be God, send down fire to consume the sacrifice. God did. He sent down fire and consumed the sacrifice, and the rocks of the altar, and the water in the trench. It was all gone. Listen, when God does something, he does it completely. When God saves a soul, he saves it completely. God prepares it for heaven the minute that person decides to call on God and ask God for his gift of salvation. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now we find Elijah coming to the end of his life, and he goes alongside, and Elisha's out plowing with a bunch of oxen, and Elijah goes by, throws his mantle on his shoulder, and said to Elisha, "Follow me." And Elisha said, "Let me go bury my father first." But somehow they got together over there at Gilgal, and they started for home. They went from Gilgal and they went up to Bethel. They went to the house of God. And there he said to Elisha, "Stay here." And Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm going with you." Elisha knew that God was going to do something great and mighty. And so he followed him to the house of God. And then they followed him down from Bethel to Jordan. You remember the history of Jordan? Down to Jericho. Jericho was a city of wickedness. And Joshua marched around Jericho for 7 days. On the seventh day, he marched around seven times, and the walls fell miraculously down. And he went down to Jericho on his way to Jordan. He went down from Jericho to the River Jordan, where Joshua had crossed so many years before with that great, vast number of people. Can you imagine that? Joshua standing there on the east side of Jordan, and this multitude of people that were following Moses and now were under the command of Joshua. And Joshua said, "Stand back. Watch this." And he said, "Bring the altar." And when those men stepped into the altar, into the water with that altar, the water rolled back and those people crossed over on dry land. They went up to Jericho. They defeated Jericho. They defeated Ai. They even defeated the north and the south and took over the land of Israel. He went down to that same place on the Jordan. He took off his mantle, wrapped it together, flogged the waters, and the waters rolled back and the two passed over. Now here are 50 prophets on the west side looking at all this, and they're watching. They went on a little further. Somehow I just feel like maybe Elisha was on his way back to Tishbe. He had crossed back over the Jordan and got over on the side of the land of Gilead, that mountainous place. And here, all of a sudden, comes this fiery chariot and these fiery horses and divides Elisha and Elijah from each other. And Elisha's gathered up in that chariot and taken off to heaven. And Elijah never died. He must have been a man that walked with God to have the power of God in his life. And then to have God take him in that fiery chariot to heaven, and he never died. Two men in the Bible never died. Enoch. It says, and Enoch walked with God. And this man, Elijah, who certainly walked with God and had the power of God on his life, over and over and over. Now he's going to turn the reins over to Elisha, and the mantle fell off, and Elisha picked up that mantle and rent his own clothes and laid that mantle over his shoulders and headed back for the River Jordan. And when he got there, couldn't you just see him standing there beside the river? A man of faith that watched the man of God and learned from the man of God. He rolled up that mantle and he flogged that water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elisha?" the waters rolled back. And the 50 prophets that are taking it all in are all eyes. And he walked across on dry land. And there on the other side, those 50 prophets looked at each other and said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they bowed down themselves before him and gave allegiance to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha, of course, became a great man of God too. A man that delivered a widow woman, and put his hands on those that were anointed to be kings and prophets after him. And when he died, when this man died, they put him in a tomb, and then they got in a hurry to bury somebody else and threw him in there with Elisha. And when this guy's body hit the bones of Elisha, he stood up and he was alive again. I don't understand all those things, but I understand this, that God is in the business of carrying on his work. And he's looking for those that the mantle of Elijah and the mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ can fall on them, and they become great men and women of God to carry the message of God. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's okay if you don't like it. I didn't write the book. But I told you a long story today because I believe that God is still looking for men and women to carry his work to those that are lost. We were out there in the tent watching people pass by, and I thought to myself, the words of Scripture, "Oh, to those that pass by, those that are not interested in the things of God, those that would not come and at least read the question and be challenged about their soul." You see, we saw 76 people in the last 2 days bow their head, ask Christ to be their Savior. But we saw scores and scores and scores of people look in the box and walk away. Not interested. "I'm an atheist. We've heard it all." But listen, my friends, God takes simple people like you and like me to carry the message of the gospel to people that need to hear. Where is the Lord God of Elisha? Or Elijah? Is not God still alive? Is not God still powerful? Is not God able to transform? Is God not able to sustain us in hard times? Is God not powerful enough to deliver us from hardship? Is God not large enough to care for us and to protect us? You see, these men personally walked with God. They walked in the presence of God, like Enoch. As the Bible says, he walked with God. Like Abraham, he was called the friend of God. And Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. Hey, people ask all the time, how can we do it in this world? We just have to, as the songs we sang today, lay our lives down before the Lord and forget the fact that we are flesh and present God our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not transformed. I got a brain cramp. Anyway, you get the drift, right? You get it that God is in the transformation business. God will take our lives as simple as they are if we'll just open our mouths. He has given us His Word. He has given us His Son. He has saved our soul. He has given us a testimony of what's happened to us. And that testimony is the greatest tool we have to share the gospel with someone else. I'm going to give you four questions. Write them down. I'm going to give you four questions in closing. How do I get started? What's the worst thing about trying to get started witnessing to people? Fear, right? We're afraid of what they're going to say. They're afraid of what they're going to think. Listen, I am dreadfully afraid of what the Lord thinks when He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm dreadfully afraid. Well, question number one. How do I get started? Question number one. Start out by asking a person if they ever think about spiritual things. That don't hurt. You ever think about spiritual things? Let them talk. Usually I say at this point, keep your mouth shut. Let them talk. Don't think you have to give them that $35,000 Bible college answer. Giving them a good answer like, isn't that interesting? Let them talk. Number two, ask the question, who do you think Jesus is? You're simply asking a question. If they say, I don't want to talk about it, then don't talk about it anymore. But you can say, who do you think Jesus is? You know, if you're much of a Christian, they're going to know you know who Jesus is. And you're just asking them if they know who He is. Number three, what do you think about heaven and hell? Let them talk. Let them talk. You're earning your chance to talk at the end. Question number four, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Let them talk. They may be off the wall. They may be entirely wrong. But you sum it up with the last question. If you were wrong, and if you're not sure about heaven, would you like to know what God says about it? They're simply going to answer three ways. Yes, no, or I don't have time right now. I can't do it right now. You say to them, when would be a good time? Make an appointment right then to go and talk to them. Tell them what happened to you. Tell them about your Savior. Tell them that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Show them Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Young people don't know what wages are these days. We have to explain what wages are. You know, it says the wages of sin, what we earn because of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. God's gift is much greater than what we earn. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We say to young people in the tent, how do you call on the name of the Lord? And almost 100% of the time it's pray. Well, we can pray with you right now. And we can tell God you're a sinner. We can tell God you believe that he died for your sins. We can tell God that you believe that he rose from the dead. We can tell God that you want his gift of eternal life, and he will give it to you. He has promised to do it. Can God tell a lie? No. Then God is all powerful, and God can change your life. Lord, I've been up here rambling for a while, and these people have been gracious in listening to my voice. But more important than my voice, O Lord, is your voice. Lord, may you have been talking with these folks while I've been speaking. May your spirit have been quickening their lives and their souls and their minds. Lord, I pray as we ponder this question, where is the Lord God of Elisha? Lord, we ponder the question, where are you? What do you want to do with my life? Here's my life. Use it for your glory. Lord, in a moment, I'm going to ask these people whether they want to be used of God. And Lord, they will respond if you are working in their soul. Lord, we pray this morning as we close this meeting that many will say, yes, I need to lay my life on the line, on the altar, and we get busy for God. Do more than I'm doing for God than I'm doing now. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and you're in a spirit of prayer. Would you say this morning, God has been speaking to me about my life and what I can do with my life? I know some people that need Jesus, and I'm going to ask God to use my life to reach them for Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray with you. I want to pray with you this morning. God bless you. Lift your hand. There it is. I see those hands. Yes. Some of you are burdened for souls. That's a wonderful thing. That's pleasing to God. And Lord, I pray that these people that have lifted their hands and responded to your spirit in their seats this morning, Lord, I pray that you would give them a vision, give them a direction, and help them, Lord, to ask the simple questions, to get a conversation started about you and your salvation and what you want to give them for all eternity. Now, before I close, maybe there's one in this room that come in this room today and you're not sure that you're going to heaven. Maybe you need to be sure today and you say, preacher, right today, I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart and my life and save me right now. In my seat right here, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me right now. Is there one like that in this room? I want to pray for you, and I want God's power on your life. Father, what a privilege it is for me to be here before these people today, to open your word, to show how you powerfully use these colorful characters of the Old Testament, and how that you have presented your strength and your power. And Lord, how that you sent Jesus to die for sin. You sent Jesus to call out sinners. And you sent Jesus to transform us and use us. Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to talk with you. And Lord, get direction as these men of old found direction day by day, and you showed your power in their life. Show your power in ours today and through this week. Lord, as we go back to the fair for the next 6 or 7 days, Lord, demonstrate your power. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.